Hi, everybody. It's lovely to see you. Happy New Year. I'm going to invite Professor Odd Louis to just have a moment of interview. That'd be great. So we're in a series now in the evening service, which is on the Creed, and we've come this week to the phrase which says, "I believe in God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth." So that's why I'm asking Odd a couple of questions. Odd, what do you do for a living?
So I'm a professor of theoretical physics here at the university.
Okay, and how long have you been coming to St. Aldate's, and why did you join St. Aldate's?
Well, I joined St. Aldate's because I was told they had a very good wine club.
Were you? Good grief. I thought you joined it for,
That is one of the reasons, but I joined it also because it's a wonderful place where God's presence is felt.
Where you met your wife.
I did meet my wife there as well, so I had some added bonus.
Yeah. So what is the professor of theoretical physics at Oxford University?
So I spend a lot of my time doing research and some time teaching, and I like to I get paid to think about interesting things.
Okay.
About physics and math and something in between the two.
So can you tell us a little bit about your research? What is that?
Yes, so I'm interested in theories of complex systems, so things with lots of interacting units and looking whether there's some kind of order or pattern in there. And I'm particularly interested the last few years in theories of life, so applying ideas from physics to understanding evolution or understanding how things in your body make themselves. So all kinds of amazing things that happen in the natural world I'd like to understand from the point of view of a physicist. And I think it's amazing that I get paid money to do this. I sometimes pinch myself because it's so incredibly cool.
Yeah, but it's also important, isn't it? Because I often say to Odd, we're really praying for you for breakthrough. What can we pray for?
I think we can pray. You can always pray for my work because I believe it's something that God has called me to do, that I can discover something new that would glorify Him. I think we can also pray because we live in a society today where science has had a huge cultural weight. And I think for all kinds of complicated reasons, it has, perhaps too much power, and certainly has made a lot of people think that somehow science has pushed faith to the side. You know, we used to believe in that God does stuff, and now we know that how it works by science. And I think that's incorrect. In fact, for those of us who are Christians in the sciences, which is actually quite a few of my colleagues, the more we look through our telescopes or our microscopes, the more we sense something of the glory of God. But that's not really what we see, I think, in the general public. So it has become a stumbling block for people. And so I like to speak about this in that question as well.
Great. And Odd and Mary are worshippers here, by which I mean they love God, and they're part of our morning congregation. Can a physicist therefore believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth?
Of course, I don't really think that's problematic at all. In fact, if you think about it a little bit further, you can ask yourself, why is there something like our universe, or perhaps more deeply, why are there the laws of nature that allow our universe to be? And really, whether you believe in God or not, you've got kind of three options. Either the laws of the universe have always existed or were created by some previous laws of nature, so there's an infinite regressive laws of nature that have always existed. That's very odd. The other option would be...
You don't go for that.
That's very strange, right? Where would that... Why would you believe that? There's no good reason to believe it. Could be true, right? But it's strange. The other option is that the world popped into being out of nothing. I mean, I don't mean by that some kind of vacuum, but real nothing with no laws of logic and no laws of mathematics, real true nothingness. So that's something with no cause. That's also very strange. Something natural with no cause, that's strange. The other option, traditional option, is that there is something or someone, a being who cannot not exist. So something outside of space and time that caused the space and time that we see. And traditionally that would be the idea of God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also odd, actually, on its first... So all three options are odd. Yeah. And then you've got to ask yourself, is there some other reason why you might believe that? Well, the third of these options allows you to understand things like why the world has laws that could be understood. If there's an intelligence behind the universe, it's not surprising that the laws of nature might be intelligible. And so there's a whole bunch of underlying assumptions you need to do science. The fact that the world is regular, repeatable, understandable, that come flow very naturally from this last assumption. And so I think on that basis, it's the most, it's the one that has the most evidence for it.
So you're saying there's evidence for this third
I think so, for there being
theory, rather than I think what people call the pink unicorn theory or the small teapot going around.
That's a good question. So there's a good example. So there's a famous example from Bertrand Russell that says, you know, I don't believe in God just the same way I don't believe there's a teapot orbiting around the Earth unless you give me evidence for it. And the assumption there is that somehow the default is to the default assumption is there is no God.
There's a lot of scorn in those things.
Yeah, there's scorn in it, and there's actually a very incorrect understanding of God, because that's a God who is an object out there that you could kind of discover. But God is not God is not some object in the universe. God is the reason why the universe exists.
Okay.
And that's a very different kind of thing. And so it sounds, it's a kind of pub argument. It sounds good at first sound, but it's actually not intellectually very deep.
Thank you. And what was I going to ask? Yes. So it isn't intellectually deep, but the other is. So are there lots of scientists at Oxford who are believers?
Yeah,
or
I think,
lots of arts professors?
I got quite a few, a very good number of my physics colleagues. I don't know. I mean, we don't always talk about our faith, we talk about our science, but I've got a lot in the 20, 30 maybe who are, you know, believers who go to church who really take that seriously. And that's not surprising, that's something you'll see everywhere. Interestingly, you'll find fewer Christians in the humanities and the social sciences than your national. I think those are fields
that are sort of edgy and rebellious.
Maybe. They're fields that I think have worldviews that come with them that are sometimes more difficult for Christians to be in.
Okay.
But for scientists, it's not actually that hard. In fact, we meet, a bunch of us meet once a term. We just met last Friday to talk about science and faith issues. And we don't spend a lot of time talking about, oh, how can we believe in God? Because that's not something we find that interesting. Yeah. We ask ourselves, if we believe in God, what does it mean for X, Y, Z? And those are very interesting questions.
Mm-hmm. So I just want you to be aware that Ard is a distinguished physicist in the world today. So Anita and I recently went to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. It is a huge place. Thank God for the vision behind that. But in that room, there are six scientists who believe, and there is a hologram of Ard Louis in that room. Seriously, it's amazing. You haven't seen
I've never seen it,
though.
No.
I've sent you a photo of it, but anyway.
Slightly embarrassing, yeah.
I thought so too. But tell me.
I know you did, yeah.
So I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth.
Right.
Do you believe in God the Father? Tell us how you, final question, because we need to press on. And thanks so much for giving up your evening. Come and do this. How did you come to believe in God as Father?
Well, I think...
Grew up in Malawi or somewhere?
In Gabon, Central Africa. So, you know, growing up in Gabon, Central Africa, watching my friends' lives transformed by the gospel had a huge impact on me coming to faith in my teenage years. I think when you think about understanding God as Father, it's something that grows over time. You know, God is not gendered, but God as Father, is one part of the Trinity. And so understanding that is really important. It's an important image for us. And I think now, as I am a father and I look at my own daughters, I have understood a lot more about what it means to God to be a father. And so I think in our lives, it's something that we can never fully grasp, but we can kind of grow into it. And it's something we're always learning. And it's one of the many inexhaustible mysteries of the faith that we can keep understanding and keep getting closer to it. It's both an intellectual understanding, experiential understanding, and it's something I think profound. It's something it touches us in a very, very deep way.
So you were brought up as a Christian. Was there a moment when you made a decision to follow Christ?
So in my teenage years, also linked to experience with the Holy Spirit, that was very powerful and very meaningful to me at the time.
What happened?
It's
interesting, don't you think?
I was filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, had a real strong experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. had come to the conclusion this must be true from reading the Bible. So it's like, you know, it helped my, as a scientist, I kind of read it, or scientifically minded person, I read it and thought, well, actually, it really clearly teaches this. If it's true, then this must also be true. And talked to some of my school friends, and we prayed for each other one day, and this happened to all of us. And it was a kind of experiment. I see if it works, and it did. And
experiment.
It was a repeatable experiment. So I thought, wow, this stuff is really true. Yeah? In a way that and I think it never lost it. No, this is my own personal experience. Other people have different experiences. We don't believe in God just because of experience. But for me, that was a turning point in my life when I realized at that point I had a permanent and adult understanding of God. And so later, when I went to university, and lots of very distinguished people told me, you know, there is no God, I just thought, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I know that you and Mary have seen the hand of God in your family and just extraordinary things. So thanks so much for coming in tonight. We wish we could hear more from you.
Thank you.